Couple of announcements this Friday. For Good Friday, we will have meditation service at our home, and invited to come, of course. Wear comfortable clothes and bring meditation blanket if you wish, and have chanting and meditation, inviting the Christ consciousness into our own. And then Sunday, we will not have church here, but we will have it at our home, once again at 11 a.m., and afterwards have the potluck. So, good time shall be had by all. 8 o'clock. Thank you. Okay. A little time. A little time I shall be on this earth, a little time in eternity, a little time of service to others, a paragraph for infinity. I follow love's wisdom to the door, I follow it to its end. I follow love's wisdom wherever it takes me, I follow it around every bend. Love blooms in the springtime all around, love blooms in my heart of God's love. Love blooms in the soul's garden year-round, lightly it descends, softly as a dove. Storms of desire gather their force, storms of desire send turbulent times. Storms of desire shake the foundations, storms of desire run their course. When God has finished his play, when God has quit his fun, then God will call us back home and withdraw his light and shade into one. And then we will not exist as me and you, and then we will not be apart, but then we will know God as one and be ever one with God as we were from the start. Our Bible reading this evening comes from St. John chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. Then Mary, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed his feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why should this not ointment be sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, not that because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare that which was therein. Then Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. For the poor ye always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On that next day, much people were to come to the feast, and when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass of a colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship to the feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall unto the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore said that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from this earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that the Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? When Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. The saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Esaias said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, nor be converted, and I should heal them. These things Esaias, when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest that they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. And the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but of the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, which I should say, and what I should speak. I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And from the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, Jesus rode an ass into Jerusalem. In Oriental countries in Bible times, kings and rulers rode the ass, and this animal was accepted, bearer of royalty. In the man consciousness, the animal part is typified by the ass, and is being rid into Jerusalem by Jesus, portrays the mastery by the I am of the animal nature and its manifestation, cult. Jerusalem means habitation of peace and signifies spiritual consciousness. The Lord hath need of them. These forces of the so-called lower nature in man are necessary to his full expression. A man or a woman with animal nature, asleep or suppressed, is but partially alive. But the vital fires are in this department of being, and it is in this purifying furnace that the material man is melted and the pure gold extracted. Those who live on the plane of mere animal generation do not ride the ass into Jerusalem. They are not masters of their animal nature, but like the beasts of the field, are mere slaves to the animal desire. In the regeneration, these animal forces are turned inward, They become powers into a higher field of action. To fulfill this part of their mission, they must be wholly weaned from animal habits. So long as the animal rules, the man is a slave. When the I am takes charge of this body, a new order of things is inaugurated. The vitality is no longer wasted in mere sense gratification. Through high and pure ideals, the whole consciousness is raised to a higher standard. Through interior thought concentration, the subtle essences of the organism are transmuted to vibratory energies and become important factors in building up that pure body which is the triumph over death. Let not the one who is indulging in the sense man in his animal ways think that he is on the royal road into Jerusalem. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Lord is higher ruling principle in man. It is to be in supremacy, not the lower. There is much sophistry among the certain school of metaphysicians who love to live the life of the animal and call it God. The master metaphysician said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Another said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the spirit shall of the spirit reap of eternal life. The characteristics of the ass are meekness, stubbornness, persistency, and endurance. To ride these is to make them obedient to one's will. The outer thoughts, or people, recognize that some unusual movement of mind is going on, and they fall into line. Their cry, Hosanna, means save now. A change of the base from personal willfulness to meekness and obedience stirs the whole consciousness or city. And there is a questioning about the cause. Simply saying in silence, not my will, but thine be done, often stirs up a commotion. And then there is a questioning as to the cause. The answer is, this is the prophet, one who states the spiritual law, Jesus, the I am, from Nazareth, the place of development of Galilee, life's activity. Rendered in modern metaphysical terms, this would read, this is the supreme I am, stating the law of spirit in the development of life action. I would like to speak this evening on Palm Sunday. In the Bible, as in all holy scriptures around the world, the symbology of man's ascension from the human into the divine is stated in symbolic terms through parable. But it is important to understand the truth behind the words. There are several meanings to any one parable, depending on the consciousness of that individual who's hearing it. Perhaps the consciousness of that one is very materially minded, and therefore he hears perhaps a moral lesson. But for those who have stepped on the spiritual path, they look for a deeper inward meaning, perhaps having to do with the spiritual transmutation of the physical body into the spiritual body, or this material consciousness into spiritual consciousness. It is in the beginning of the Bible that we learn about the fall of man, that in the Garden of Eden, man experienced his oneness with God. He walked with God. He talked with God. He saw him, and he was in constant communion with him. But it was through his own willfulness, it is through disobeying the spiritual laws of God, that man fell out of the kingdom of heaven, fell out of the Garden of Eden, and into material consciousness. As man's consciousness became solely identified with the body rather than the spiritual consciousness, so too he believed that he was this body, and whenever existing upon this earth, he identified himself solely with this body, believing self to be born, self to live, to grow old, and eventually to die. It is in this consciousness that most individuals live, not seeing the cause or the after effect of living this human life, not oftentimes questioning or delving into the deeper questions of life, why man is left to be in material nature why he was born to suffer, why he was born into sickness, and then ultimately unto death. It is a tremendous parable in this story of the Buddha that he is at one point in his life living in a garden that is of total material consciousness, not seeing old age, not seeing disease or death. But then one day, as he's riding out in his chariot, he sees a man who is extremely feeble and weak, and he asks the charioteer, "What is it with this man?" Well, the charioteer obviously knew and said, "Well, this man is of old age, and we all grow that way." As they traveled upon the path some more, they saw a man who was very ill and lying on his side and not able to get up. And the Buddha had never noticed this before, had never seen this before. And so he asked his charioteer about that. He said, "Siddhartha, this is sickness, and that all bodies at some time or another come into sickness." As they went further down the path, he saw someone who was lying still, not moving, not breathing. The life had escaped the body. And he asked what this is, as the charioteer explained, that this was death, and it was the ultimate fate of all men. So too we in our own consciousness live in a garden. We live in the garden of ignorance. We believe that this life is never-ending, that we believe under the illusion that we are impermeable, and that we shall never come to that point of death, sickness, or old age. We live in denial of these, so to speak, and in that denial, we do not truly see them. But in our spiritual unfoldment, in our spiritual quest, we come against these. We see the truth, that truly we all come to a point of leaving this body. We all go through illness. We all eventually succumb to old age. And therefore, we see that this world can hold no permanent pleasure, no real treasures that we can keep for our own, but rather everything that we deem of value, everything, even our own life, is someday given up. And so as we begin to truly take this in and recognize it as a truth, we find that there is nothing that we can really grasp onto. There's nothing that is worth holding on to. And we begin to seek after God. We seek after that universal life, that life that travels on and does not cease. But it is not an easy path, for long have our soul pores been clogged with material desires. And as we set our mind upon the spiritual path and we meet a true guru, that one initiates us into a way to meditate, a way to be with God and think about God. But as we put our mind upon the spiritual, the material constantly beckons to us. It becomes and raises its head in all of its ugliness and rebels against every step of going towards spiritual consciousness. It recognizes that if spiritual consciousness were to reign, that this individualized ego would cease to exist. And therefore it rebels with all of its strength, for it ultimately means death towards a small ego. The Old Testament is filled with stories of the battles, of the difficulties, of the victories, as well as the defeats, of the story of cause and effect, as different individuals go against the will of God and pay the price, and eventually are converted back into doing the will of God. And so it is with the human ego, that as we progress in our spiritual journey, that we take one step forward and sometimes two steps back, sometimes three steps forward and one step back. But it is through this way that we strengthen our spiritual consciousness. It is through this way that we learn, through identifying the law of cause and effect within our own consciousness, within our own lives. We find out that which works for us, that which is suitable for our own consciousness, that which promotes growth, and that which retards growth, that which adds to the darkness of our own consciousness. And so there is no blame in all of this, but this is God's play. This is his drama that he has set up. And your own individual life is God living that out in that individualized consciousness. And so for every person, there is not blame. There is not right, so to speak, or wrong, so to speak, in the ultimate sense of things. But it is God living his life. But as we progress along, we learn God's spiritual principles. We learn those things that lead us towards our own development. And if we are fortunate, we find a true guru in our own lives who can help us discern and accelerate that spiritual journey. It is a sad thing what we have seen in our own world as so-called gurus have come into the world. Many faithful people have put their trust and their love into these individuals, and their faith has been betrayed. But there is no lost action. There is a story in India of the disciple who was a follower of a guru, and the guru had no true God realization, but rather was egotistical, who was blind to the real spiritual needs of the disciple. And yet through the disciple's purity of consciousness, through its own devotion of service, that disciple, God reached down and touched and became realized. And so it is the purity of devotion, it is purity of intention and of action that is truly the measure of a soul. It is that one who is willing to put aside the things of this human consciousness, the things of the moment, and to concentrate on the realities of infinity, of eternity. It is much like watching a small child who's, as I remember back, it seemed as if that a school year in elementary school must have been a lifetime at least. Had to last a lifetime. And today in my life, it seems as if a year is just a series of months, just a few months that seem to fly by. And so it is in spiritual vision that as we look to God, there is no way that our human mind, the human intelligence, can truly encapsulate the infinite mind. There is no way for the kindergartner to understand the university student's intelligence or the kind of ideas that they handle. And so we must set aside all of our prejudice, all of our preconceptions, and lay ourselves totally naked before God. We must not presume to know the answers, for whatever the mind has formulated is not a living presence of God's mind. In order to truly feel the living presence of God's mind, we must still our mind. And we do this by stilling our breath, by simply meditating and watching our breath, practicing our kriya. Our breath becomes still, and we become centered upon not the restlessness of thoughts and of breath, but on the stillness of God. And we enter into that temple of silence. And there our minds are expanded. There we find our unity with the universal mind. And we are no longer limited to our reasoning faculty. We are no longer limited to trying to figure out the mysteries and the laws of God, but rather they are automatically revealed to us. We sense the presence. We feel it with every atom of our being. There is no separation between the truth and ourselves. There is no guessing about it. Rather, there is a wondrous fulfillment of it. There is a revelation of it. And in this revelation, we are not left to doubt. Now, in the beginning, when the mind stills itself, and we have a revelation of God, slowly that revelation begins to recede from our conscious mind, much as a sleeper who re-enters into the world from sleep and a deep dream. The memories of that dream begin to recede from the conscious mind. So too, at first in meditation, those revelations, that upliftment, begins to recede from the conscious mind. and the conscious mind is then brought back out into the conscious world. Now, Jesus represents the universal mind, represents the Christ consciousness, the I Am. And as the I Am is lifted up into the Jerusalem, which is the place of peace, which is the consciousness of our oneness with God, he comes back down from the Mount of Olives. And as he comes back down, which are these two eyes that concentrate upon the One, then Judas Iscariot, or that consciousness of sexuality, seeks to draw that consciousness, that divine consciousness, back down into sexual activity. And in doing so, brings a divine gift and tries to manifest it through the body. As we manifest things, our energy through the body, as must needs be in order to live in this world, to act in this world, there is no sin in this. But when we are visiting in the Christ consciousness and divine consciousness and are pulled back down against our own will into body consciousness, this we must strive to overcome. This we must strive to transmute and lift back up into Christ consciousness. But it is Judas who betrays the Christ. It is his sexual energy that seeks to betray. And so it is that in our spiritual quest, in our spiritual seeking, in our meditation, that we seek with every bit of our will, every bit of our mind, our thought, and our heart to transmit all energy up into the upward spinal column, into the upper spiritual centers of the body. The consciousness and the energy of God comes in through the medulla into the brain and is then distributed down through the body. And most of the people living in unconsciousness merely live out this divine energy, having it go out through the body all through the day. But in meditation, that energy course is reversed. And in a conscious way, that energy is lifted back up through the spine, into the brain, into the Christ center, and from the Christ center, that point between the eyebrows, into the top of the head. And there you feel the tingling vibration of God in the very fine brain matters at the top of the skull. And then that energy radiating back out through the skull forms the nimbus, or that radiant light that forms around the top of the head and is a symbol of saints and of God-realized individuals. This is the truth behind, for instance, why all around the world, different religious representatives wear hats that are upwardly pointed. Or in the Buddhist tradition, hair is entwined around and around in a cone-type shape to the top of the head and beyond. It is this spiritual energy that then courses up transmuted sexual energy and energies that are normally spent through the body and lifted up through the brain. And there the regeneration of the brain, the activation of all the brain cells that have been dormant within our bodies for so long. And the soul opens itself up. And no longer is it involved with the restless thoughts and attachments through this body, but rather you enjoy the peace and the bliss as experienced in the highest consciousness. No longer do you feel your separation as if there is a void in your life, but rather you feel an intimate oneness with your own inner life and life all around you. Indeed, there is no separation. Rather, you feel yourself in oneness with the infinite current, and that current pervades all of the universe. And suddenly, the entire universe is withdrawn within, and you feel it only as consciousness. You feel it as an expression of consciousness, and you are one with that consciousness. And so it is in this Palm Sunday that Jesus, having been lifted up into the mountain, into Jerusalem, is coming back down. And all of the world, all of the city has turned out. He is riding the ass, or the symbol of royalty. All of the different citizens are laying down palms in front of him. He has achieved total mastery of self. And with that has come the adulation of all of society, of all of the inner kingdoms, have all come and bowed down before the superior I Am consciousness. And at this time, there is a tremendous potential to take that in an egotistical way and take personal responsibility for that energy. And there is the thought at that moment that with this spiritual consciousness, a worldwide revolution could occur that would make this consciousness king of the entire world. In other words, the subtle ego gets in and tempts that one with the ability to control others and the ability to control self and all of the divine energy for personal merit. And at that point, Jesus does a tremendous thing. The master of self, the master of the world, easily able to claim dominion over this world, recognizes that still as an individualized consciousness, that that must disappear. That everything of this world, all the attachments, all the thoughts, must be absolutely purified in every aspect. And so recognizing that for this hour he has come for this total renunciation, not claiming any self, any part for his self, any part of the power and of the glory and of all the things that are being given at his feet, he renounces all. And through that renunciation, realizing that he will have to go through total humiliation. He will have to go through painful events. And he will have to go through absolute subjugation and to death. But the death is not into the grave. Rather, it is into God realization as the individualized aspect of the ego, in this case, the divine ego, totally disappears. There is no longer an individualized aspect when all of this is done. And yet there is enough attachment, there is enough there to be surrendered, that it is a very difficult time, as we are told in the story. But Jesus has a difficult time with this. This is a struggle. This is a time when he could call legions of angels to his aid and be spared going through this, and yet knowing that this is his purpose at this moment. It's a tremendous spiritual truth. We see many people on the spiritual path who are seekers, who are looking for a little of this or a little of that, or seeking out psychic powers, or seeking out to gain a little edge on the world, maybe a little bit of happiness. But very rare is it that we find a soul who is willing to surrender all unto that spiritual consciousness. And so it is that we find the lead here. We find a pattern. We find a story that takes us to the ultimate consciousness. It is not for personal aggrandizement, but rather it is for God's glory. God, reveal thyself through me. Reveal thyself, reveal thyself. Not for own personal merit, but that there may no longer be any separation, but only oneness, and that we might complete the story of having fallen from oneness with God, journeyed out as the prodigal son, and then returned to find ourselves back in the bosom of God, and feeling our oneness and the bliss and the glory of his presence, singing only his name, and finding our oneness in him. So on this Palm Sunday, experiencing the glory and the bliss of God, let us without hesitation surrender all to God, knowing that He is the author of the bliss. He's the glory of any adulation. He's the author of anything that happens in our life, good or ill, and surrendering it all to Him. Let us seek that glory, but greater yet, let us seek our oneness with God. Now let us pray. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet and surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He. Peace. Bless. Amen.